content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. This is the July and August edition. So first thing first, we're going to be reading from Love and Life. It's a self-care pledge, a letter about that life, written by Penny Wren. There is a life you think you should be living. It's not the life you're actually living. It's a phantom existence haunting the living hell out of you. It's not your life, but it's that life. The ghost of everything you've ever wanted. And now you listen to me. You hear me. Don't you dare, and I mean this something serious. Don't you dare sit up here and let that made up ain't even as good as it can tell or can really get life run around in your head, making you feel conned, making you feel like you missed out, making you feel unglorified, making you feel unqualified, making you feel undignified. No, that life is a menace, up to no good. To the hell with that life. If life is what you want to call it, it's more like a lie. So what of all those shouldas and wouldas, or shouldas and wouldas? So what to who and what could have been that never was and may never be? So what? That life you thought you'd have. That life you think you wish you had. That life you swear you want and pray you'll get. That life ain't got nothing on you. It certainly has nothing on the busted up, burnt, or burdened, basic, busy, and sometimes boring, but most beautiful thing in the world right now. Life that's staring you in the face. Write that life a Dear John letter. Let your powers of dismissal force out any misguided belief in what ought to be. Wave it away. Drive it off. Take hold of a church fan and bat away that specter if you have to. Do whatever it takes to give up the ghost. Be defiant about it. There's no time to care about what you think you'll lose. Take a deep breath. Let your breath be weightless. Let it lack fear and regret. Let it be unbothered by what hasn't happened. Free of expectations and what ifs. Wholly unoccupied, but also wholehearted. Let your breath be a reminder that you are sublimely ordinary, one of many and a ruler of none. Then let it go. Let that breath be a farewell to that life and all its focus on becoming have kept you from the business of being. So forget that life and live anyway. Again, that was a letter by or about that life by Penny Wren. So continuing on with love and spirituality. Win from within. So your life or your relationship with yourself can unlock life's riches. Pastor Van Moody, author of I Factor, gives us 3 tips on how to discover the magic of me. At one time or another, most of us have cast blame elsewhere for our problems and shortcomings. We may have attributed them to our background or gender or race, the government, the devil, or whomever, because it's often hard for us to take responsibility for the role we may have played. Systems of oppression are real, but they are not nearly as damaging as what we do to ourselves. In many situations, trouble arises from within. The I factor, your relationship with yourself, is key in determining if you are helping or hindering your life. People with a damaged I factor tend to self-sabotage, while those with a healthy I factor manage themselves well. Here are 3 ways to ensure that you win from within. Number 1, solidify your identity. Everything you think and do flows from your sense of identity. your personal assessment of who you are and why you are important. Your identity is the compass that guides you through every aspect of your life. When people are insecure, they waste a lot of time of their time trying to fulfill the expectations of others. The process of figuring out yourself or your true self requires that you remove the layers. The way to self-discovery is like the peeling of an onion. Like you, the onion starts with just a seed. Your seed carries your identity's unique DNA. Over time, layers of experience, fear, and disappointment have piled on top of it. Getting back to the core of who you are allows you to live in a healthy place. Number two, maintain the right perspective. When we have a realistic outlook, we meet our circumstances with a sound mindset. The ancient Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius, stated, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength." Often people remain stuck repeating the cycle of dysfunction until they finally recognize that the issue is not their bosses, spouses, bank accounts, or children, but rather their minds. You're headed toward a breakthrough when you realize that your mind is in charge. Your thoughts shape your emotions and your body follows along. Number three, live out your significance. People with a strong I factor seek meaning. People with an impaired I factor clamor for attention. Looking for value in the wrong places will eventually wear us out. When we stop searching for value in what we do or in the things around us and start understanding the value we already have in us, we will find significance. When our quest is rooted in serving the world and not our ego, we will feel rested, restored, and renewed. And so the prayer is, God, help me to discover the best version of myself and then lose myself. May I find myself by developing a healthy I factor and living with the right sense of my identity, significance, and perspective. May I lose myself by using the growth and greatness I experience to benefit others. Success is about me. Significance is about others. May the life I live not only be about success, but also be about significance. Amen. So that was a really good article from Love and Life about spirituality. So the next article that I have for you is the new rule of law. There's a growing trend of black women attorneys using their legal acumen to tackle social issues. We're going to check out a core group that is fighting the good fight. So when Kechi Tafa strides into the courtroom or boardroom, the petite lawyer with flowing locks and a regal bearing views herself as a change agent. The human rights attorney is an advocacy director for criminal justice with the Open Society Foundations, a global think tank that funds progressive causes. Tafa is also the convener of the Justice Roundtable, a broad coalition of advocates who meet regularly in the nation's capital to tackle sentencing reform and racial justice issues. Quote, "I'm using the law in the tradition of great women like Harriet Tubman," end quote, says Tafa, age 63, a Washington, D.C. native who earned her J.D. from George Washington University. "I walked those halls of Congress and met with Obama officials at the White House. I view myself as a freedom fighter." She's not the only one using the rule of law to affect change and reform systematic inequalities. Be it on Capitol Hill, where at least 6 African-American women in Congress are lawyers. Or within civil rights organizations nationwide, Black women are harnessing their power in the courts and beyond. They're fighting to dismantle racism, sexism, and poverty, pushing to secure voting rights and battling LGBTQ bias. They're championing education reform, equal pay, reproductive justice issues, and more. So we're going to meet 6 other women like Taffa who are proud to use their legal knowledge for community uplift. Sherilyn Ifill. She's the president and director, counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Her issue is civil rights. Don't mess with Sherilyn Ifill. Whether litigating cases before the Supreme Court or appearing on TV newscasts to break down police brutality and the law, the head of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, also known as LDF, is formidable. I believe in one's ability to navigate American society as a full, equal, and dignified citizen of this country, says Ifill, age 55, who earned her JD from New York University's law school. I've wanted to be a civil rights lawyer since I was a little girl. The Queens, New York native was born to immigrant parents and is the youngest of 10 siblings. She's the second woman to helm LDF. Founded by the NAACP in 1940 under the leadership of Thurgood Marshall. The organization achieved legal victories to desegregate schools and in other landmark cases. Ifill, who began her career with the American Civil Liberties Union, also known as ACLU, has been involved in LDF wins at the highest courts in the land, including Buck versus Davis, where the Supreme Court condemned the injection of racial bias and sent into capital sentencing. Her team has successfully challenged Texas Bill SB 14, a strict photo ID law that critics contend as designed to disenfranchise people of color at the polls. The University of Maryland law school professor has led LDF attorneys in crafting key friend of the court briefs that support affirmative action and LGBTQ rights and ending money bail systems in communities of color. Amid the angst around the killing of unarmed African Americans by police, Ifill helped launch LDF's policy reform campaign, which is a nationwide effort to address law enforcement issues. She's married with 3 daughters, the advocate and author of On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century, lives her legal ideals. She's even taken to Twitter to blast some New York City cabbies who allegedly drive past African Americans and fail to pick them up. It's not just a microaggression. I take it very seriously, says Ifill, who notes that talks have begun with authorities about the issue. We can't normalize any type of racism or systematic discrimination. Fatima Goss Graves. She's the president and CEO of the National Women's Law School, also known as NWLC. And so the issues that she tackles are gender discrimination and sexual harassment. So decades before Fatima Goss Graves became the first lawyer in her family, the Klan was impacted by the legal system. Goss versus Board of Education was one of the critical school desegregation suits that followed Brown versus Board of Education. And my father and his siblings were named the plaintiffs, says the Washington, D.C. resident. The lesson that I learned was that even one family can make a big difference. The law is a powerful tool. Armed with a degree from Yale Law School. The 42-year-old attorney has spent her career tackling issues central to women's lives. Now, as the first African-American to lead the National Women's Law Center, also known as NWLCL, Graves, along with her colleagues, is taking on everything from discrimination to harassment to sexual assault. The NWLC, whose 4 decades of advocacy includes a national campaign around equal pay legislation that helped bring about the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, launched the Let Her Learn initiative in 2017 to address disproportionate suspensions and expulsions of black girls at school. It's a disgrace that so many girls of color are harshly punished at school for minor infractions. The future of girls is on the line. Now is the time to take action and address their needs, says Graves. To date, the campaign's PSA has gone viral with millions of views. Another endeavor the center established is the Legal Network for Gender Equity. Billed as the first national legal network to battle sex discrimination, more than 500 attorneys nationwide have signed on to provide free consultations and, in some cases, pro bono or reduced fee representation to women and girls experiencing sex discrimination. There's so much work to be done, but I am called to this. And it's invigorating, says Graves, who juggles her professional demands with marriage and 2 young children. I feel enormously lucky to spend my days using my law degree to improve the lives and future of women and girls, especially women of color. Today, as threats continue to escalate and hurt women that work could not be more important. Joy Chaney, she is the executive director and campaign director of Equal Pay Today. And some of the issues that she tackles are same earnings for women. Growing up in Florida with a physician mother and a lawyer father, Joy Chaney inherited both the mantle of privilege and the spirit of service. I was raised in the civil rights tradition, and I'm a big believer in equality, says Chaney, age 39, a graduate of Harvard Law School. I view the role of lawyers as social engineers, working toward a more just society for all. The former Obama appointee and congressional staffer incorporates those values while leading Equal Pay Today, which is based in Washington, D.C. The campaign is a project of the Tide Center, a nonprofit social incubator. This coalition of women's and workers' rights groups organizes at the local, state, and national level around the long-standing issue of wage inequality. Statistics show that women earn on an average about 80 cents for every dollar a white man is paid. For black women, it's around 63 cents. For Chaney, this is unacceptable. I care unapologetically about the rights, treatment, and advance of women whose voices have been historically suppressed and ignored, she says. While she doesn't personally litigate cases, her allies do, however. Her legal expertise is used to help craft public policy, strategize, and advocate. A typical day for the one-woman operation might involve testifying on Capitol Hill or promoting campaigns such as Black Women's Equal Pay Day, held annually in July. The organization is among those pushing for federal wage collection data, a rule implemented by Obama officials in 2016, which the Trump administration halted in 2017. Fighting to close that wage gap enrages me, inspires me, focuses me, says Chaney. This is my dream job. Pamela Herndon. She is the executive director of Southwest Women's Law Center. And some of the issues that she tackles are women's poverty and health care access. So Pamela Herndon was still a schoolgirl in Corpus Christi, Texas, when a television news report piqued her interest in the law. It was about families in Louisiana who'd been living in and paying for houses for years, but never owned them. I remember thinking, I will help them. I will come to their rescue. That philosophy underscores her role as executive director of the Southwest Women's Law Center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was founded in 2005, and its mission includes lifting women and their families out of poverty, ensuring access to quality, affordable health care, and securing equality for women and girls. We get lots of calls for women and some men, says Herndon, whose staff of two attorneys frequently collaborate with advocates, social service agencies, and legal partners such as the ACLU. There are multiple obstacles to self-sufficiency that many women confront based on gender, class, race, disability, age, and/or immigration status. Herndon earned her JD from the University of Texas School of Law. The 65-year-old married mother of three boasts public professional accolades that include being named Public Lawyer of the Year by the State Bar. Living in one of the country's poorest states, where African Americans only comprise about 3% of the population, she brings a unique perspective. Too often, when seeking help for Black women, we get the excuse that there's not enough significant data to justify funding, says Herndon. Being at the table, I have the opportunity to show the disparities that exist in basic programs and services for groups of women who are seen as significantly insignificant. Says Herndon, being at the table, I have the opportunity to show the disparities that exist in basic programs and services for groups of women who are seen as significantly insignificant. So moving on to the next lawyer is Kristen Clark. She is the president and executive director of Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And the issue that she tackles is civil rights. So when Kristen Clark enters the courtroom, she brings with her the spirit of the ancestors. African American women have always played a central role in the Black freedom struggle, says Clark, age 43, a Brooklyn native with Jamaican roots. They are the moral compass and a source of great inspiration to me. The Columbia Law School graduate brings that spirit to her role as president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, a national civil rights organization. The Lawyers Committee seeks to promote fair housing, economic justice, voting rights, equal educational opportunities, civil justice, judicial diversity, and more. Right now, we are fighting voter suppression all across the country in places like Texas, Georgia, and Alabama, Clark says. We are working to end mass incarceration, and we've filed a lot of litigation against the Trump administration. This includes such cases as President Donald Trump's travel ban on Muslim-majority countries. Clark, who is raising a teenage son, has dedicated her career to combating discrimination faced by African Americans and others in marginalized communities. She has worked at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, was a federal prosecutor for the U.S. Department of Justice in its Civil Rights Division, and headed the Civil Rights Bureau for the New York State Attorney General's Office. The courts are one place where we can present evidence and make our case about why a law or policy is unconstitutional or violates civil rights law. That said, I know that many of these fights are not started in the courtroom, she says. They start at the grassroots level and often in the streets by those who march and protest to bring attention to injustice. The courts are one important part of multi-pronged strategy for fighting injustice. And then lastly, the last lawyer that we're going to cover is Judith Brown Dynenis. She's an executive director of Advancement Project, and the issues that she tackles is educational inequities and racial justice. So in her early 20s, Judith Brown Dynenis experienced what she describes as racial discrimination on the job. But the cloud had a silver lining. I decided to become a lawyer to right those wrongs, she says. Today, the Columbia Law School alumna helms the Advancement Project in the nation's capital. The next generation multiracial civil rights organization specializes in racial justice reform for communities of color. Dynenis came aboard at the organization's inception in 1999 after honing her skills at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. The Queens, New York native is a nationally recognized leader in the efforts to end the school-to-prison pipeline, attacking harsh disciplinary measures that criminalize children of color. We work closely with grassroots groups to significantly decrease student suspensions and arrests in cities like Denver, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Miami, she says. Dynenis has written reports on the issue. One is Opportunities Suspended, but her commitment to racial inequality in public schools extends to a board role with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing, which challenges the misuse of standardized testing. Meanwhile, her 36-member team at Advancement Project has joined forces with the Journey for Justice Alliance, a coalition in 24 cities that is challenging the growing trend of public school closures and privatization in communities of color. Their work has included filing civil rights complaints in Chicago, New Orleans, and Newark, New Jersey. Racial justice is my purpose, says Dynenis, age 51, who's married with a teen daughter. I was put on this earth to undo the wrong of the past on behalf of Black people and other people of color. It is my passion. I am blessed to do this work. And this article was written by Donna M. Owens, and she is a multi-platform journalist based in Baltimore. And again, this article was called The New Rule of Law. There's a growing trend of Black women attorneys using their legal acumen to tackle social issues. And just to recap that we talked about, the six lawyers that we talked about were Sherilyn Eiffel, Fatima Goss Graves, Joy Cheney, Pamela Herndon, Kristen Clark, and Judith Brown Dynenis. So it looks like that we have actually run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. We'll be right back.